have to calm down a little bit after that moment. It's really good to be with you all this morning. The last time I was in this room was just a little bit of a while ago for the 50th, which was just such an incredible time to hear stories and celebrate the faithfulness of God in this community and through this community. And, you know, Kristen and I love every chance we have to be with you all. And I think it's really significant, even beautiful, that August is Missions Month, as you're preparing to welcome new leadership, right, into this church. That this is something that has been happening. It's not just happening because you're welcoming new pastor next month, but this is the heart of this church, right? And that the Spirit of God that has been at work through this community for decades is the same Spirit that will continue to be at work. Amen? And I'm excited for you to see what will happen. This morning, you've already tasted a little bit of our passage. If not, I think there's more if Terry hasn't eaten them all. I don't know where they went. Oh, they're over there. Okay, no shame in wandering that direction. And we're going to look at a little bit, and then Krista and I are also going to share a little bit about our work with InterVarsity and give you some updates, as we've spent pretty much the last 20 years getting to invest deeply in the lives of students and faculty across the United States so that they might know Jesus more. And believing, and I see this being true the longer I'm on staff, that really like 3 or 4 years of deep investment in someone's life can alter the next 40 years of their lives. I'm grateful for how God has allowed us to do that. I'm grateful for your partnership and prayers of that over the years. And I really appreciate that last song that we sang, because it is the heart of God that all people would gather together to worship him and to know the depth of his love, right? And that passage that we read earlier out of Isaiah 25, on this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever, right? It says, on this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a rich feast of food for all peoples. I imagine there's donuts in that table, you know my favorite food, and a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines, a feast of rich food for all peoples. All right, so when I think of the passage of the great banquet in Luke 14, I think of my friend Ashley. I can't even call her a friend because we've only met once. My acquaintance, Ashley. So last June, I got to go visit Southwestern Oregon Community College over in Coos Bay. I was helping them debrief the year and look ahead to the future and this fall. And I had heard of Ashley, but I never met her, and I was hoping she would be here, and she was there. And you can hide that picture because she's not there. And I knew that was going to throw them. I'm sorry, you guys. I'm testing you today. And Ashley, she's a basketball player. Like 80% of this college, community college, are athletes. And she'd been a basketball player at a Christian college the year before. And then something had happened, and she wasn't able to go back. I don't know the story, but it was pretty damaging to her faith and to her own sense of identity. And so she somehow found a way to come play basketball at this community college, where it had actually been a rough year as well. And about March or April, she connected with this small group of students who were leading Bible study and inviting students to put Jesus at the center of their lives. They're the only Christian community on campus at this small little community college in Coos Bay. And so she tentatively starts coming around this community for the last 3 months, showing up more and more. And when I meet her, Ashley is just fully there. It is clear, like, her personality is present. She is finding identity and freedom to be herself. She's the loudest person in the room. And she's coming back to life in Jesus. We study the Bible, and she's like, I love this Jesus. And so at the end of our time together, I'm helping them think about, what do you want to do for the fall? How do you want to reach the next generation of students who are coming in September? And Ashley, who's graduating and not even going to be here, is be like, shirts! We need shirts! And I was like, okay. Swag is a big deal with students. And she's like, and I know already what to put on the shirt. I was like, you're not even going to be here, Ashley. She's like, it doesn't matter. Right? And this young woman, who's only been around this group of students for maybe 10 or 12 weeks, she says, the shirts have to say this, room for one more. Room for one more. And I was stunned. as this young woman who is finding her way back to Jesus and finding healing in the time she'd spent with these students, this kind of ragtag group of students who are just figuring out how to even help others encounter Jesus. She gets it. And she experienced it in this community, that the heart of the Father is there's always room for one more. You know, and often when I've looked at the passage of the great banquet, and we talk about the excuses that these invited guests make and how they choose out and others are brought in, right? But I've been drawn to the heart of the host. That when folks reject his invitations, that's just on them. The banquet is ready. Go bring in those who do want to be here. The poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame, the outcast, the marginalized, those who are full of shame and hurting. Those who have been told that they don't belong, who are downtrodden, who are unwelcome, who are ignored, who are rejected, who are told, go home. The heart of the Father is that there is room for one more, always. And as we follow the heart of the Father, like Ashley, that's what the message we bring to the world, is there is always room for one more. And if you look at the passage even deeper, you can see that the servant gets his master's heart. Because after he goes out and he does the first round of collecting people, he says, Master, there's still room for more. And so he says, go out further. Go to the country lanes. Go to Coos Bay. If there's ever a country lane, it's Southwestern Oregon Community College, okay? Like, I didn't even know the college existed 2 years ago, and I've lived in the state my whole life, okay? And so he says, go out. And most folks would even say that when in that passage, Jesus is talking about the Gentiles, right? He says, we're going beyond, we're going further, so that all nations will get to gather at the feast of the Father. And then in this story, I wish we had so much more time to look at Luke 14, because it's an incredibly awkward scene that shows I would never invite Jesus to a party. Jesus is so awkward, you all. But there's this man who speaks up and he says, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. And it's in response to a lot of awkward things that Jesus is saying, and I think they're feeling a little defensive, and he's that friend who just can't keep his mouth shut. We all have those friends. And what he's referencing is that Isaiah 25 passage and this idea that all folks will eat at the feast. But what has happened between Isaiah and Luke 14 is that idea of who gets to actually eat at the feast of the kingdom has gotten really narrow. The teachers, the religious folks, they've started to put a lot of parameters around who gets to actually come and sit around the table. Right? It's kind of, oh, this might be unfair, but I'm going to say it. Sometimes I go visit churches, and it's Communion Sunday, and I know it's different here, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm allowed to get communion. Am I going to offend someone if I go get communion? There's good reasons for those things, but I'm always a little uncomfortable. I'm like, I don't want to offend anybody, right? But even more so than that, they have put very strict rules around how people behave, what their ethnic background looks like, what their faith looks like, that only certain folks will get to eat at the feast in the kingdom. And so the result is there's a lot of folks on the outside who don't feel like they belong. They've narrowed down who gets to be there, but Jesus is blowing that wide open again. He's saying, I'm doing the heart of the Father. I'm going out and I'm bringing everyone in. I'm compelling them because you have communicated that they don't belong, that they should be ashamed of their lives and their circumstances and choices, and I am not ashamed of anyone. And when you look at this parable in context, Jesus is the servant obeying the Father, and the banquet is ready, friends. The banquet is now. And I struggled even this week as I was getting ready to share this word, because as we look around the world, as we continue to look at unfolding tragedy in Gaza and many, many other places, as a friend of mine said on Friday, he said, Joel, is the banquet really now? And I said, I think it is. Jesus seems to think it is. But every day I'm praying, Jesus, show me what the banquet looks like today in my life and in the places where I find myself. Because I need help seeing that. I do believe the banquet is ready, and I do believe that the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame, the outcast, those who carry shame and hurt are being brought into the kingdom. One of the things that we get to do in our work with InterVarsity is, my favorite thing actually, is during spring break. It's always my wife's birthday. That's not why it's my favorite. It's because I miss her birthday every year. We take students away for what we call Mark Camp. We study the first or the second half of Mark's gospel inductively. Now, you want to talk about a hard invitation? Try inviting college students, 18-year-olds, to give up their spring break to study the Bible for 7 hours a day. But undoubtedly, when students graduate, they say, that is the best experience of my entire college career. And they become our best inviters as they tell their friends how Jesus has come alive to them. So I'm directing it this last March, and we're having a night of testimony. And Daniel, who's a native first-generation college student, stood up in front of everyone at Mark Camp to testify about his experience. And he said this. He said, I'm native, and my people still bear the bruises and scars from the historic abuse of the church within our community. And my dad asked me before coming this week, why are you going to a church camp to be with those people? What are you doing with those people, Daniel? But you see, all year, friends on Daniel's campus had been loving him, listening to his story and sharing about their own experiences of Jesus with him. They had been inviting him and compelling him to come be part of their community. And they were not just focused on their own faith, but on not making space for one more, on making space for Daniel. And so Daniel, in the midst of this Mark camp, he stands up and he says, but I am seeing the true love and power of Jesus for myself now. As we studied the healing of the demoniac in Mark 5, I connect with how Jesus sends him back to his people. And this man, he still bears the bruises and scars from his past, even though Jesus has set him free. And that is my story today. Wow, because the room of 120 students was just silent as Daniel finished sharing. Because a community on campus had made room for one more. Daniel was experiencing life and healing in Jesus, and as he makes room for his community, more people are going to do that. Now, in this moment, I asked the Holy Spirit how to respond, because I'm like, I don't know what to do next. It was a holy moment. But I felt nudged to invite us as a room to turn and pray for each other and those on our campus who carry hurt and disillusionment from their experience with church. And the next day, someone came up to me and said, Joel, can I tell you how deeply impacted I was by that moment? You see, this student, he carried his own deep woundedness and distrust from church. And as he listened to his peers around him repenting of how the church has not always represented Christ, he was met by God in that moment, and his own heart softened, and he turned his life back towards Jesus. You see, as we make room for one more in our lives, it sets off this ripple effect of people encountering the banquet, doesn't it? Just making room. And people are being profoundly met by God. And I love how this carried over. So you can put that picture up, that first one that I made you take down. So I was talking to my friend Larry, who's the volunteer that works over at this community college in Coos Bay this last week. We were catching up, and he said, Joel, do you know what's happening? And I'm like, no, I don't know what's happening. Shoot, what's wrong? Summer's always rough. He's like, no, it's really, really good. So Larry had invested in Asher and Ben and Ben. And Ben in the middle there has kind of been the key student leader, and he's graduating. And Asher on the right is taking over leadership with another guy named Joey. And he said, well, I got on a call with them last week. And do you know what they've done this summer? I said, no. He said, they went back to their home churches, and they started young adult groups in their churches. They did what? Right? Like, they understood that the heart of the Father is to make room for one more. And so when they got back to their home churches, they realized there wasn't a space for a lot of the young adults in their church. And so Asher and Joey both started young adult groups in their church. In fact, Asher started two. And then there's Lexi. Lexi is also one of the student leaders. She happens to be the vice president of student government on campus. And this summer, she was talking to one of the students at the extension campus in Brookings. Did you guys know there's an extension campus in Brookings? Because I didn't. And it's one building that only has classes on campus like 2 days a week. And so Lexi is talking to this other student who I think might be connected to student government, but they're not talking about that. Lexi is sharing about what she has found through Laker Christian Fellowship, this community at Swank. And the student looks at Lexi and says, we need that here. Can you help us? And Lexi's like, I don't know. I think so. because the heart of this community is to make room for one more. So she goes back to Asher and Joey and says, they want us to come help them. What do we do? And they decide this fall, they're going to drive down one of them each week to help launch a small group at the Extension campus in Brookings. That's what happens when students and people start to realize that the heart of God is to make room for one more. Amen? This morning, in this space, I would ask you to consider, where is Jesus inviting you to have room for one more? Not just in this room, but in our lives. Because to invite people around the table with us is to invite them into our lives, into spaces of belonging and being known ourselves and knowing them. And I wonder, even as I shared this morning, I'm going to pray in a minute, is there a name that the Lord is bringing to mind for you this morning? Where God is inviting you to make room for one more. Because we as servants, we know the Master's heart. And the Master's heart is that his house would be full and that people would experience the banquet. Let me pray. Father, thank you that you are one who wants your house to be full. And thank you that you throw parties and banquets with the best food and the best wine. And someday, Jesus, we will get to see the fulfillment of that Isaiah prophecy, Lord. And we long for that. And as we live in the now and the not yet, in all the parts of our lives, Jesus, we ask that you would make room for one more. That you would help us to make room for one more and to invite others into life with us, that as they share life with us, that we might get to be a part of helping them be part of the banquet. Holy Spirit, I bless this community. I ask Jesus, I know there are many ways they serve and are engaged across Eugene, Springfield, and Lane County. Lord, would you continue to show them what it means to make space and to live lives that say there is always room for one more. In your name we pray. Amen. It's really fun for me to get to walk with students and to see them capture the heart of Jesus. And so I'm going to let Krista come up here in a minute and share a little bit about her ministry. But I also want to share a little bit about what is happening. So I'm the Associate Regional Director for InterVarsity across the Northwest, which means I get to shepherd and love staff and students in Oregon, Washington, Alaska, and Northern Idaho. We're actually all going to be I'm leaving tomorrow. We have our regional staff conference tomorrow, which I'm really looking forward to. And as we've gathered students, it's been so fun to see how God is putting his desire in students' and faculty's hearts to know him. And one of the roles that I get to hold, if you put up the picture of the country here, is I am part of a team that longs to see every campus be reached. And currently, last year, there were 681 campuses in the U.S. with no known ministry on them whatsoever. No InterVarsity, no Campus Crusade, no Navigators, no church reaching that local community. And so I'm part of a team that says, no, like the heart of God is for every corner of every campus. And so what's really beautiful, I want to celebrate with you guys, the number of remaining unreached campuses has dropped from 681 to 541 in the last year. Isn't that amazing? God has been at work through a combination of collaborating with partners, of new planting activity. We see pastors and faculty coming along. And we also discovered, guess what? That God has already been at work before us. That God goes before us. And there's these independent groups on campus we didn't know about. And we're not trying to make them InterVarsity. We just want to bless them and encourage them. And so, like, in June, I called up this guy at Wenatchee Valley College. Talk about country lanes. Okay? And he's a faculty there. He's been a faculty since the 1980s. And I was like, hey, is there anything happening on campus? He's like, as a matter of fact, there is. For the last 35 years, I've been leading a Christian community on this campus. And he tells me story after story of how God has been at work through these students and faculty to transform the campus at Wenatchee Valley College. My number got one less. And I celebrated with him, and I prayed, and I blessed him, and I said, if there are ever any ways I can serve and partner with you, please let me know. And so potentially there's going to be some students from Wenatchee Valley College coming to our fall conference or to Urbana, right? InterVarsity's Triannual Student Missions Conference. So it's been really, really fun to see what God is doing. And so continues to reduce. So if you go to the next map, just to zoom in for a second, this gets a little closer to home. I'm still praying and waiting for God to do something in Roseburg at Umpqua Community College. And my children, you see down here in Northern California, there's a town called Susanville. Any of you been through Susanville this summer? We were there a couple weeks ago. As we're driving into Susanville, I see a sign that says Community College. And I'm on vacation. I'm in vacation mode. But I'm like, wait, one of my campuses is here. And my kids are like, what is happening, Dad? And it's Lassen Community College, one of our unreached campuses. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Dad has to pray. And so we pause our road trip for 10 minutes. Krista takes a picture of me. I think there might be one up there. And we get to pray for Lassen College in Susanville, asking and praying that the Lord would come. Road trips when your dad is a campus pastor. Other things I want to share and just celebrate with you. In the Northwest, in the past 2 years, we've hired 8 new staff people from outside InterVarsity. That's pretty unusual for us. Most of our folks tend to come students who graduate and then come on staff with us. I call them our unicorns, these 8 new staff. They're people like folks who have pastored for 20 years. And then they're like, no, I want to go invest in the lives of college students and are planting ministries at Whitman College and Lewis and Clark College in Portland. And these new team members, they bring a fresh wave of excitement and energy to our ministry, along with valuable gifts and skills from their previous vocation and ministry experiences. It's been really incredible to see how God has answered our prayers for more staff, right? The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. I want to say thank you for praying, because God is bringing people to our side. And it's been really fun to see how these folks have stepped into ministry. And one of the really fun things, my friends Jake and Kate in Alaska, they moved from Florida to Fairbanks with their 3 young children. They had never been there. And they're reaching and loving Native students at UAF. And as they've prayed and loved that place, one of the beautiful things that happened is that God started to break through. And right now, there are students who are praying daily, prayer walking daily at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I don't know how that works when it's minus 35 outside, but these are students who are showing up desperate and hungry for the Spirit of God and praying that more would experience His love and His healing. So I'll say thank you for how you've prayed with us. We're about to launch into a new year of making room for one more. And so my invitation would be that you would pray for us as we begin to welcome students to campus. I'm going to invite Krista to come up and share about her corner of InterVarsity briefly. So thank you.